Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another edition of Sports Urban Legend on a Saturday, on a Sunday night. Along with my co-host, Macaulay Matthew, I'm, of course, William Mamo. What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Hey, man, I'm doing good. Hey, you weren't saying Mets go on Friday night at Applebee's when watching that Mets game. You're all pessimistic and stuff.
Hey, I'm just here. I'm just being honest. I'm just keeping it real, man. Just keeping it real, man. I didn't feel like they were gonna win that game. They didn't, if I'm not mistaken. They didn't. So I mean, I was right, unfortunately. You know, but yeah, they didn't win tonight either. You know, they split the series with the Marlins. Of course, the highlight of that the weekend was Keith Hernandez having
his number. Yeah,
number 17 retired, yeah. Which, you know, we're going to lead off with that, of course. Talk about, you know, the Yankees in their current series with the Red Sox. Talk about, you know, what's going on in, you know, the basketball free agency rumors and all that. You know, we'll get into that as well. Talk wrestling and whatever is on, you know, your mind, my mind, and most importantly, the listener's mind. And you guys and ladies would like to give us a call, please feel free to call us at 563-999-3529. That's 563-999-3529. So feel free to talk about any of these topics and more. We'd love to hear from you. But with that said, let's lead off with the captain. You know, the captain of the New York Mets, the first ever captain in New York Mets history, the greatest first baseman of all time. And of course, I'm talking about number 17, Keith Hernandez. And Saturday night, Saturday afternoon, you know, the Mets, they honored one of their own, a man who singly changed the franchise, you know, the state of the franchise during the dark ages of the late 70s and early 80s, you know. He went from the world champion St. Louis Cardinals of 82 to the worst team in the National League, which was the Mets. The Mets were so bad that when he got, you know, after he got traded to the Mets, June 15th, 1983, he felt like he was being traded to Siberia, you know, and Dave Kingman, who was a second time Met, two-time Met, when Keith, you know, arrived, he was, the guy, he, you know, he's not usually a happy person. And when Keith was there, he's like, oh, I'm so happy you're here. You're my ticket out of here. So, you know, once Keith heard that, he was like, what's going on here? You know, Keith mentioned in his new documentary, He's Keith Hernandez, that they aired on SNY just before this, this ceremony. And then Tom Seaver called, he said, welcome to the Stems. And do you know what that means, Mac?
I do not. What does that mean?
And Tom Seaver said, that's Mets spelled backwards, stupid.
Oh.
That's how bad the Mets were.
Oh.
the bottom of the National League.
Stem. Okay, so, I get it.
So, yeah, that's how bad the Mets were at that time. Keith went from you know, the defending world champion St. Louis Cardinals to being traded to the worst team in the National League, the Mets. And how did the Mets get this bad? Well, in 77, the Mets the unthinkable. They traded away Tom Seaver and Dave Kingman, those two same guys who end up returning to the Mets that 83 year. They were both traded. They called it the Midnight Massacre. Tom Seaver was crying that day, you know, even though he had issues with the writing and with the writers and one of the writers, I think from Daily News at the time, and the owner of the team, M. Donald Grant. So when he got traded, you know, he was overcome with emotion. And I'm talking about Tom Seaver. So in disgust, the Mets fans turned Shea Stadium into a ghost town. Now, mind you, in the 60s, outsold the Yankees. You know, they had more people in the seats, even though the Yankees were obviously, they won titles in the 60s, but the Mets outsold them ticket-wise and attendance-wise at that decade. However, when the Mets traded away Seaver in 77, the Mets fans, you know, they felt like the heart of the franchise, which is what Tom Seaver is and was and will always be, he got traded away, and the Mets fans, they showed their protest and their disgust by not showing up to the games. And, it, you know, the team was a ghost town. And then basically, you know, from 77 to 83, you know, the team was horrible. Basically, you know, Tom Seaver coming back, you know, that got the fans, you know, to come up. Strawberry came up in 83 as well. And then, of course, he was thinking about not even re-signing with the team, but his father told him about, you know, the up-and-coming guys that they have, you know, including Gooden, and that's what made him want to, you know, stay with the team, and the rest is history. And then from 83 to 86, a three-year difference, you know, along with the acquisition of, you know, Gary Carter in 85, that turned the franchise around. And, yeah, it's great to see an all-time great Met, you know, one of the best players of all time who should be in the Hall of Fame. You know, I think he should, to be honest with you, I think he should be in the Hall of Fame twice. One as a player, arguably the greatest, you know, defensive first baseman of all time, a good hitter as well. And then, of course, his work in SNY and Channel 11 as a, you know, an analyst. I mean, he always brings knowledge and humor to the game. So, I mean, when it's all said and done, this guy is definitely going to Cooperstown, whether it's as an analyst and or as a baseball player. And if you ask me, I think he should go in as both.
I thought you were going to say he should go in twice as a – one as a Cardinal and one as a Met. I thought that's what you were going to say.
No, I mean, hey, as long as he goes in into the Hall of Fame, you know, I'd be happy. Would I be happier if he went in as a Met? Of course. But as long as he goes into the Hall of Fame, hey, you know, I'm down with it. I mean, you can make a case for either one. You know, St. Louis Cardinals, he – you know, he won the MVP. He was co-MVP with the Pirates great Thurgill, who hit the first home run against the Mets in history. I think he won a Byron title also in St. Louis also, if I'm not mistaken. Of course, he won the title in 82. And then, of course, when he got traded to the Mets, he became a leader on the team and helped them have, you know, that best winning era of their of the Mets franchise. You know, if we had the wild card at that time, the Mets would have went to the playoffs a lot more, and dare I say, maybe even won more titles. I mean, obviously the Yankees would have been recipients of that also. You know, because Yankees, I think they won more games than anybody in that decade. But that was one of the rare times prior to the 1920s. When the Yankees didn't win a title. But
I never understood why back to the Hall of Fame. I never understood why it mattered what team a player goes into the Hall of Fame, like what team he represented in the Hall of Fame. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, as long as he had a great career, should it matter what hat he's wearing? I mean, I don't think it should matter,
yeah.
Right?
I think they started to care when like I think it was Wade Boggs. He went in as I think a Tampa Bay Rays because I think they were gonna give him money or something like that. It was like some weird reasoning. Mm-hmm. I think ever since then, that's when they when they took control of it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, because I think they said that he'll be eligible from the veterans committee in 2 years from now. Do you think he should be inducted into the Hall of Fame, or do you think he's overrated?
I think he should go into the Hall of Fame.
If so,
I mean, there are players right now in the Hall of Fame who probably shouldn't be there, so might as well just throw him in there, I guess.
Yeah. Do you think he should be inducted as a Met or a Cardinal?
You know, that's debatable. I mean, you know, that's very debatable right now.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe the Mets. I mean, did he win a World Series with the Cardinals?
Yeah, he did. That was his first championship in 82. And then
he won the MVP, right?
In 79, co-MVP.
Yeah,
the only time that ever happened in history.
That's tough. That's very tough, man. Man, that's a tough call.
And he won 6 gold gloves with the Mets, 5 with the Cardinals. I mean,
what about
he
this?
Won.
Make him go in as a player with the Cardinals and Alex as the Mets. What about that?
Well, I mean, yeah, that would go. I mean, yeah, as a Met, he would definitely go in as a. When it comes to Alex, he'd definitely be a Met. You know, to be honest with you, I think that's what's going to happen. You know, I think, he won the MVP. You know, he put his name on the map, Cardinals. But yeah, to me, I think he should go in as a Met. You know, he was the main guy. You know, he won 6 out of his 11 consecutive Gold Gloves. Over there, you know, in New York. I definitely think he should go in as a Met, but hey, as long as he goes in, that's what really matters, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because it's long overdue. If he was a shortstop or a second baseman or a catcher and he put up all those numbers, he had over 2,000 hits and 200, like almost a 300 hitter. I think he might have bat 296 as a career wise. I think.
Yeah.
But you know his last year in Cleveland Indians, I think he batted 262, and he had like bad knees, so his batting average went down. So that's why he didn't end up a career 300 hitter. The dude, you know, he put up. I mean, he was a great hitter. He was superb, flawless. Defensively, even Don Mattingly, who's now the manager of the Marlins, you know, he admitted that he looked up to Keith and he, you know, took some of his techniques, to turn himself into a 9-time Gold Glover. So,
wow.
I mean, Keith definitely deserves to go in. I mean, there shouldn't be a bias on him just because, I mean, obviously first basemen are normally, you know, is normally a power position. But, I mean, the guy's a winner. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like Bill Russell. Should you punish the guy, Bill Russell, because he didn't, like, average, 20 points a game? But the most important thing, he helped the team win. Obviously, Bill Russell did it. Had more sustained success, and, of course, the 11 ties with the Celtics, but it's the same mentality. Like you know, as long as you're a leader on the team, you help the team win, and you're the top of your position of all time, how are you not in the Hall of Fame? Like, seriously.
Yeah.
It's a joke. And yeah, basically the Mets, they pull off this huge comeback on Saturday night. They scored 10 runs in the bottom of the 10th on the most craziest fashion. The pitcher Nimmo hit a ball right to the pitcher. Looked like a routine ball, and then he throws it down right field to score the winning run, which was kind of like shades of Bill Buckner. And I think that was the last time the Mets won, a crazy fashion like that. You know, instead of the ball going through the guy's legs, the pitcher threw the ball, and it went past the first baseman, and it went down the right field line, just like when the ball went through Buckner's leg, you know, to score, the winning run in that World Series Game 6.
But, this happened yesterday?
Yeah, this happened yesterday. And, Mets was trying to win the game today, and it went 10 innings again, back-to-back games. It went 10 innings, except unfortunately, the Mets, you know, they lost by the final score 2-0. Taiwan Walker pitched brilliantly, went 7 innings. I mean, for the most part, the Mets had great pitching this series. But yes, what was I going to say? The Saturday game, the Keith Hernandez game, obviously thanked his teammates, thanked his brother, his parents, and he even gave props to the current team, you know, saying that he sees something in this current team. He loves the way how they play. And, you know, Pete Alonso honored him with having a Keith Hernandez type mustache and the stirrup socks. Broke out of his 42 at bat homerless streak, going deep, hitting his 23rd home run, his 70th RBI, which leads the majors to my knowledge still. Lindor hit his 15th home run, which I gave the Mets a brief lead before they blew it, but then they came back that game. So all in all, the Mets, you know, they played well. They split the series. Unfortunately, they lost yesterday. Earlier today with Alcantara, you know, on the mound, but the game went extra innings in the 10th. And that was all she wrote. You know, Mets got shut out. But the good news is the Mets have four All-Stars. Would you like to guess who they are?
Lonzo. Let me see. Lindor?
Nah, so surprisingly, I thought Lindor should have made it, but he didn't.
McNeil?
Yep, McNeil. McNeil, the most improved player, in my opinion, if there's an award for the in basketball. Bounce back, as I thought he would.
Is it pitcher?
One of them is a pitcher.
Oh, the closer? The closer.
Okay, yep, Diaz, that's correct.
Diaz.
And another one is a guy, he's, you know, I guess I'll give you a clue. He's an outfielder.
Outfielder.
You want me to give you the three guesses and you'll guess which one out of the three?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
All right. There's Nemo, Marte, and Kana.
Oh, Nemo.
I thought Nemo should have went in also, but nope. It's Marte.
Oh, okay. Marte.
This is second All-Star appearance. First time was with the Pirates.
That's great.
3 years ago. So congrats to him.
Is he injured?
What did you say? Oh, yeah, he is injured. He, I think he has a groin injury or something like that.
So he's going to play?
I don't know. I guess he's day to day.
Oh.
McNeil, he's going to miss coming Braves series because he's on paternity leave. So congratulations to him and his wife.
Congrats on him being pregnant.
Baby. Yes. And, yeah. In other Mets news or former Mets news, your boy Cano, he got traded.
Your boy.
He last played
for you guys.
He played more games. He won a championship for you guys.
He hasn't been in the Yankee uniform since 2013.
Yeah, but he got you a title.
Well, yeah, true. He don't forget, he's your boy too. He last played for you guys. You forget that.
I didn't say he wasn't my boy either, but he's more your boy. He got you with the ring, right?
And so now what team he's playing for?
I take three lucky guesses. I'll give you a clue. It's a major league team.
Well, yeah, that's a no-brainer. Is he going back to you guys?
Nope. Two more guesses.
Yeah, well, he's not coming back to Yankees. I didn't hear that.
Nope, it's not Yankees. One more guess.
Oh, yeah, no, that's not even a guess. I'm saying that he's not
okay.
coming back to the Yankees. I know that.
All right, fine. You still got your two more guesses.
Well, give me a hint or something.
All right. The hint is that's a National League team.
A National League team?
Mm-hmm.
Cardinals?
Nope.
One Marlins? More
guess. Nope. The answer is Braves.
Oh, wow.
So he's gonna be in this series.
Wow.
He's going to
get his revenge on you guys.
Oh, you know it. You know he will. I mean, that's why they made the trade. Braves made this trade. The Cowardly
wow.
Braves.
That'd be really interesting if suddenly he finds his batting stroke again with the Braves.
Oh, he will. That's exactly what's going to happen. Unless if he's completely washed up. You know he's gonna win at least one game.
Yeah.
Against the Mets. But we'll see. I mean, Mets are 1.5 games now after this loss. And game one tomorrow night. It's a battle of the Max. It's, you know, they're taking it straight to the Max. You got Max Scherzer versus Max Fried. I mean, you can't get a better matchup than that.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
It's zany to the max.
Yeah.
Just like Tiny Toons.
Yep.
But yeah, Mets gotta win this series. I mean, what can you say? And we'll see what happens with the Mets. Hopefully, they can win this series and. Hold on to this division. But that's easier said than done. Now they're holding by the, you know, the skin of their teeth now. I mean, this 1.5 series division. Yeah, McCann is on the DL with a left oblique strain. You got Marte hurt. Don't know if he's going to be on the DL. And, yeah, this offense is not scoring. So, we'll see what happens. Hopefully the Mets can get some magic back like they did Saturday. But we'll see what happens. Switching gears to the other team in New York, of course, your boys, the New York Yankees. They lost a couple of games to their longtime rival, the Red Sox. Yankees, blew the game on Saturday, and if I'm not mistaken, you guys
just
lost
tonight. Yeah, 11-6.
Like 11-something. Oh, 11-6.
Yeah.
So, what's your thoughts on the state of the Yankees right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're still on pace to, to win 114, 116 games right now. They won the first two games of the series. The first game won 6-5. Second game won 12-5.
Mm-hmm.
And that Red Sox blew up. But the last couple nights has not been the Yankee nights. They blew the game last night, and then tonight they lose 11-6. Tyone didn't have it. So, this series kind of reminded me of the old school Yankees Red Sox series. You know, it was pretty much an exciting series to watch. Now we got to go head back home now. And
host the Reds.
Yeah, and then we play the Red Sox the next weekend again.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're on vacation. So that'll be nice.
And this upcoming series is the Paul Nero series.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, so. But Yankees are doing good.
Yeah,
still in good shape. I mean, they're still leading the division by like 14 or 15 games. I mean,
plus you're gonna be playing the Reds. You're gonna bounce back.
Yeah, we're gonna
and
play
you split
back
the
home.
Series. You like you said, you didn't lose any ground because you split the series.
Right.
And you guys have a huge margin of leading the division. So you guys are in good shape.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, head back home where we're almost unbeatable. So.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Yankees have to just continue to play well, like they've been doing. So I think I'm hearing now that they might trade for former Red Sox Benintendi from the Royals. Is he on the Royals? No, what team is he on?
Yeah, he is on the Royals.
On the Royals, yeah. And he it was announced that he's going to All-Star game as well. So sounds like they might trade him for Gallo and cash considerations, I think. So we'll see if that goes through.
And then, of course, you guys have the rumor that you guys might, trade for Castillo from the Reds.
Oh, really? I don't know if that will happen, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, you know, you might trade for him. It's not like it's an official or like.
Right, right. Yeah. I haven't heard much detail on that, but, you know, it's possible. We'll see what the Yankees do if they just their Gallo. You know, he's been very inconsistent, batting under 200. And I think we need to add another pitcher to the team as well. So, see how the Yankees address those concerns.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens. And congratulations to your Yankees. They're also having. You know, they're also having, four All-Stars as well.
Yeah. The leading vote-getter.
Mm-hmm.
Stanton.
Trevino.
Nasty Nestor. And Trevino.
I think it was Holmes, I think. Clay Holmes, the reliever.
Clay Holmes. Well, Nestor Cortez is also going.
Is he really? I don't know. I've seen him.
Yeah, he just announced Boone and told him, I think, yesterday, I think.
Mm.
Or was it today? Let me double check. Let me see. I think he's going to be coming on. Let me see. So it's actually five then, if that's the case, right?
Oh, then it's five.
Yeah.
Wait, six. Oh, Gerrit Cole. We forgot about Gerrit Cole.
Oh, yeah, six. Yeah.
Yeah, sure. No, and you guys always have more out there than what we do.
Yeah.
So congrats to all six Yankee All-Stars.
Yeah, congrats. They've been having a great year, so well-deserved.
Yeah, it is absolutely well-deserved. You guys have the best record, and, you know, you guys are moving along.
Yeah.
So it's definitely well-deserved. But, shifting gears. Yeah, let's talk NBA. And I don't know if you heard about the latest of the Durant news.
No, what's going on there?
Yeah, apparently they wanted to do a trade with Minnesota, and they wanted to get Karl Anthony Towns.
Oh, I heard about that one, yeah.
I'm trying to remember what other player they wanted. I think Edwards and, four number one picks or something like that.
Teals declined it, right?
Yeah. Teals declined it. It might have been another good player too. I kind of escapes me. Excuse me, but yeah, they declined it. So yeah, basically, I mean the Nets are doing the right thing. You know, they're in the driver's seat. They got they should try to get as much as they can.
Yeah.
You know, you got a Hall of Fame player in Durant. See what deal you can make. I mean, fortunately, it most likely can never. It's never gonna equal Durant. You know, having a player like Durant. You know, I mean, because if you're giving up all your top players for Durant, I mean that's a wash. And then not to mention Durant in like 2 years from now is gonna want to take his talent someplace else, and then
exactly.
You're gonna be just like the Nets.
Yep.
You know, so I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. The only way it would make sense to have a Durant is if you're adding on to what you have, which basically Durant wants to be traded to a championship caliber team. You know, whether it's Phoenix or Miami. What he don't realize is that in order for our team to acquire him, they're gonna have to give up their whole house. You know.
Yeah. and the kitchen sink.
Exactly. So, you know, good luck to him trying to get what he want to get, because this guy, he just can't do rebuilding. You know, he just can't handle hardship. You know, he got his butt whooped by the Warriors, and then he literally made that old saying, if you can't beat them, join them. And he literally did that. And then he, you know, which he, you know, props to him. He was great on the Warriors. You know, he helped them win two titles back to back. But then, you know, he went to the Nets where, you know, he would have actually built a team from the ground up, even though, you know, was trying to create another big two kind of situation. But at least had he won a tie with the Nets, you know, it would have counted for something, because, you know, the Nets never won a title in the NBA. So at least he would have been trying to do something. And then once they got Harden, you know, and of course, you know, the saga that surrounded Kyrie Irving for the past couple of years, basically, you know, they didn't think it was fun anymore. And they saw that their chances of winning a title slipped. So, you know, now they want to hop aboard different places. You know, he wants to be on Phoenix Suns or the Heat. Kyrie wants to be on the Lakers. And, you know, with the Lakers history, Lakers might find some way to get both somehow. I don't know. As crazy as that sounds. But I think for sure Kyrie Irving will be a Laker.
Yeah,
whether
it looks like that's going to happen.
Yeah, definitely a straight, you know, Westbrook for Kyrie.
Yeah.
Definitely going to be involved in that deal. I don't think it'll be just a straight trade. You know, I'm sure there'll be draft picks involved and all that stuff.
Right.
Sorting it out. But, yeah, that's the state of the NBA. Damian Lillard signed a 2-year, $120 million extension. I mean, he's making $60 million. Good Lord. Oh, that's a lot of money.
Well, at least he's loyal.
Yeah, he is. He is absolutely loyal. I mean, he's a great player. You know, he deserves the money, you know. And hopefully they will try to build a team around him.
I hope so.
Yeah. And then on the Knicks side, you got whatchamacallit, you know, the Grimes playing well in Summer League, scored 24 points both games. But unfortunately, the Summer League team is not the team that's going to be predominantly playing all those minutes at the Garden. So this is just basically a wash, really. As long as the guys can develop, use it as spring training, you know, to develop, build up their confidence, then, you know, that's good, you know. You got that rookie Keel and Sims, the young guys playing well. But, you know, but the problem is Thibodeau don't play these guys, so... Well, I mean, we'll see what happens with the guys, you know, what they'll do when they have some minutes.
They get what's this thing I keep hearing, a Summer League championship?
I don't know about no championship.
I keep hearing you Summer League rings. What's this about? Are they giving championships now in Summer League?
I didn't hear that they gave.
I keep hearing about this on social media, people talking about it.
Maybe people are mocking the Knicks, saying that, you know, they're going to win a championship.
No, I'm talking about overall in Summer League, like, not the Knicks, but, like, overall, I think they're giving out, like, some type of championship to the team that finished with the best Summer League record or something like that.
Oh, my goodness, you're right. What the heck? Sunday is 17th. Let's see. Is an NBA Summer League giving out rings? What? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
Why are you giving out rings to this? Wow, the Knicks will finally win a ring. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Our championship drought is finally over.
Well, do the Knicks have the best record?
I don't know, but didn't they win two? Aren't they 2-0 so far?
I don't know. I haven't been following them. You know,
this
it's
is
exhibition,
ridiculous.
So.
This is like seriously.
Weird.
You're a championship ring in a exhibition game.
Yeah, weird.
This is insane. Do they actually think people are gonna watch this?
I'm not even watching it right now.
Oh, maybe they'll improve ratings if they put it on Apple TV and Amazon Prime and all these different stuff.
Yep.
Like the MLB is doing. That's crazy, man. I'm sorry. That's a participation trophy. No disrespect to the young guys trying to make a name for themselves. I mean, honestly, if you want to think of it as a minor league, winning a minor league championship, I guess that's okay. If you want to think of it in that way, it's just I don't know. It's weird. It's just weird to me. No, but then again, you got G League. You got G League, so I assume there's a championship for the G League.
Well, yeah, but that's like an actual.
Yeah, that's actually a league.
Yeah, this is like
just a manif tournament or whatever,
right.
or that's stupid. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'll get that.
Why don't you improve the Knicks? Why don't you, I don't know, try to get someone to buy the Knicks and improve the team? Like, why are you giving out rings for the summer league?
I don't get it.
This is one of the dumbest ideas I've ever heard. I've heard a lot of dumb ideas. Right, summer league rings. I mean, come on.
Stupid.
Seriously? Who asked for this? Who asked for a summer league? Who's been playing in the summer league and like, hey, man, I don't want to play in the NBA. I want to get the summer league ring. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Would you be happy if we won the summer league ring?
No.
Exactly.
What's
that's
the point of it?
That's my point. So what's the point of having the summer league ring? Like, who cares? Like, this is a head scratcher, man.
I don't even get why they're doing it.
The only thing I'm surprised about is that Rob Ranford didn't come up with this idea. That's the only thing I'm surprised about. And have Angel Hernandez umpire the game or referee the game. Like, it's ridiculous, man. That's what I got to say about that. Let's go from things that sound like could be a WWE storyline to the actual WWE. Let's shift gears. Did you watch Raw? I mean, I saw
Raw. Yeah.
Anything interesting you saw? I mean, I know Gunther defeated R-Truth, you know, for the 4th of July when he was pretending to be Uncle Sam. Becky Lynch defeated Asuka in a no-holds-bar match.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins defeated Ezekiel. Bobby Lashley and Street Profits defeat Theory and Alpha Academy, Liv Morgan, you know, the new SmackDown Women's Champion, and Bianca Belair, the Raw Women's Champion, defeated Natalya and Carmella. AJ Styles defeat The Miz. The Mysterios defeat Judgment Day. And Lashley's going to defend the U.S. title against Theory at SummerSlam.
Yep. Yeah, that was pretty much all of Raw. Can't think of anything else. I mean,
on SmackDown, you have King Raiders defeating Jinder Mahal and Shanky. Shinsuke Nakamura defeated Ludwig Kaiser. Gunther's manager. Ronda Rousey defeated Natalya via submission. After Natalya told, who was it, Aaliyah, that she enjoyed every second of her match with Ronda Rousey, even though she tapped out. I mean, I don't know what that's
strange.
About. That was a weird.
Very strange.
Yeah. Then you got maybe she thought it was for the Summer League Championship. Because that's not like a participation trophy mentality.
Yeah.
Like, how are you going
to
be excited?
You're just happy to be there.
Yeah, exactly. You're happy to be there. You tapped out. You lost. Goodness. You got the Usos defeating Los Lotharios in a championship contenders match? How's a championship contenders match if Usos is the champions? Was the Lotharios supposed to qualify or something to be the champion for a championship match or something? Some dumb wording. Drew McIntyre defeated Butch because apparently Drew McIntyre is the only one that could defeat Sheamus and his crew. Unlike the New Day, who's been fighting them for like 18 months in a row, and they can't even win a match, even though they accidentally injured Big E. And did they face any heat backstage from Vince? Nope. They won that WrestleMania match in a handicap, a 3-on-2 handicap match that their injury, you know, the accidental injury caused. That don't even make no sense.
That doesn't.
So they rewarded him for accidentally injuring Big E, essentially.
Yeah, pretty much.
And every episode they got them pulling, you know, Butch's beating the crap out of, you know, New Day, and they're pulling him off of him, and then he comes up and start attacking them. Like, that's literally what every segment was. Insane. So, yeah, that's the state of WWE right there.
Shout out to Liv Morgan. You know,
oh, yeah,
again,
man.
Well deserved for winning that title.
Yeah, we talked about that last week, but, yeah, it's great that, you know, she got that, you know, she's finally getting the opportunity as a champion.
The title looks good on her.
Yeah, she looks like a natural champion for sure.
Yeah.
No doubt about that. And, yeah, shifting gears to AEW. But, yeah, it looks like before I get to that, it looks like Naomi finally made some comments about, you know, her suspension / potential release. Apparently she wrote, it looks like it might have been, was it today? Let me see. Well, apparently here's what she said. She wrote on IG, "The moment you stop people from taking advantage of you and disrespecting you is when they define you as tough, selfish, or crazy. Manipulators hate boundaries." So, you know, she started
That's
being
a cryptic
taken advantage.
Text right there.
Hmm?
That's a mysterious. I don't know how you want to decipher that text, but it's very cryptic.
Well, it sounds like she's saying that, you know, she feels like Vince and WWE takes advantage of her. You know, they don't appreciate what a talent she was for them. You know, so, you know, that's why she hinted that why she left. But shifting gears to AEW, basically. Wardlow defeated Scorpio Sky to become the new TNT champion. You got Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland defeating The Butcher and the Blade. Rush defeated Pentagon Jr. The Acclaim and Gun Club defeated Ruffin It and Fuego del Sol and Bear Country. And then the Gun Club, you know, with Billy and his sons, Austin and Colton, they turn on the Acclaim and beat them up. Thunder Rosa defeated Nyla Rose and Marina Shafir. John Moxley defeated Brody King to retain the interim AEW championship because CM Punk is still the AEW champion, but he's dealing with a foot injury. So he's going to be gone for Lord knows how many months. But in the interim, John Moxley is going to be the interim AEW champion. And then I guess when Punk is healthy, he will battle Moxley to determine who the unified AEW champion is. So congratulations to Wardlow winning his first title in AEW. And Christian Cage and Luchasaurus attacked Matt Hardy. And I think in Ring of Honor, Jonathan Grisham, who's the Ring of Honor champion, he turned heel and joined Tully Blanchard's faction in that company. But yeah, I guess that's about it in the world of sports and entertainment. Oh, one more thing. Daughter Ava Rain, that's her wrestling name. She cut a promo on was it Saturday? And yeah, she's a fourth generation wrestler, and she calls herself the Final Girl.
The Final Girl.
So I guess, you know, she's criticizing, you know, the new generation of the NXT Women's Division. I guess she's the Final Girl. She's the future champion, being you know, a four-time. You know, generational wrestler. So, you know, good luck to her, you know, NXT, and hopefully become a future champion, following after her father's footsteps.
Yeah.
But with that said, anything you'd like to talk about before we head out?
Check out your local listings for IMAC and come back here and check out Sports Server Legend every Saturdays at 11. Only on Block Talk Radio.
That's right. Looks like we might have a special one Thursday night. You know, check your local listings. Keep locked in on Block Talk Radio and we look forward to having you, you know, check out the next episode on Thursday. So he's Macaulay Matthew. I'm William Ramon, and I'll see you guys next time. Peace.